The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Still going through my bracket, Sports360AZ.com, on AZ Central Sports, on White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. Hope you had yourself a great weekend. We are recovering. Well, actually, we have to be recovered because we just go from Las Vegas right into March Madness. I'll be heading over to San Diego with the University of Arizona Wildcats, and Jared Cohen from Sports 360 will be going to Milwaukee. Eric said, there's not a chance that I'd be going to Milwaukee. No, he didn't say that. We'll talk to him in a second. But we had a great time up the Pac-12 tournament, and there's a lot going on around March Madness that obviously we'll get to over the next couple of hours. Greg Byrne will be with us, athletic director at the University of Arizona Wildcats. We'll visit with Greg here in a few minutes about the tournament and the seeding and a little bit about spring football and some other things around U of A basketball that I'll talk to Greg Byrne about, the Pac-12 tournament as well. I don't know if he can make free throws because the University of Arizona Wildcats certainly could not make a free throw to save their life on Saturday. We'll have news and notes. AZ Central's columnist Paula Bovin, my friend, will be with us, as well as we stream the show on AZ Central. Good to have people checking us out there. So we'll talk with Paula, all things around the tournament. She is following the U of A as well, Patrick Corbin's injury, and some other stuff that is on my mind. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything with Sports 360 AZ, back, recovered, and actually a wealthy man. You actually made it through Vegas on the positive side, correct?
I'm not that wealthy. I'm still here at work.
Yeah.
So I didn't break the bank.
You didn't break the bank.
I'm not retiring at the ripe old age of 40. But, yeah, I did leave with more than I came with, which is never a bad thing.
What's like the largest amount that you put down when you were up there? Were you still playing penny slots?
No, I don't play slots.
No.
I just bet games. And very small increments, $10-$15 per game.
What's like the craziest you've gotten, like 20?
25, 30.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't make enough to gamble a lot.
You're not like the guys that were lined up there that were...
No, yeah. You go up to the sports book and you just see people shuffling through their $100 bills. I'm like, yeah. $10, please, on UCLA -4.
I was over with a guy who is involved in wealth management over at Mandalay Bay Friday? I met up with him and we were sitting in the sports book. And he knows quite a few people around the Vegas scene. And he said the deal now in Vegas is that people will roll in there and they'll run up their credit cards on the $100 cabana, the $300 cabana, and they'll go party their tails off and they'll run up, you know, a couple grand, $3,000 on their credit cards. And then they have no other money because they have no money to begin with. And then they'll go pay it off for 3 months and then they'll come back, meaning that the tables are down. And that the gambling side is down, that people are just now more into wanting to lay poolside and spend money on caviar they really shouldn't be. They should be at Jack in the Box, but that's the way it goes in Vegas.
It is.
Although some of the people we were with, one of them in particular, certainly wasn't of that mindset at the tables on Thursday night.
Money to burn, as they say in the business.
Have you filled your brackets out yet?
Nah.
You going to do one?
I don't know, maybe.
I'm thinking... Because all you guys today, I'm not going to sit here and break down. We'll have guests on this week that'll do that stuff. But to break it down all the way through, I'm all about the coaches this time of year. Who is coaching who? You know, Shaka Smart is a guy that I like a great deal as a coach. As there's been the struggles at Arizona State at times with Herb, that has been a name that is brought up. I think if you're Arizona State now, that all those rumblings and rumors about Herb's job security will probably go by the wayside. And for some of you, you're disappointed by that. Last night, I got overrun by people saying it's redemption time for Arizona State and that the Wildcats are now motivated by their loss to UCLA. That's such crap. What do you mean you're motivated? We just weren't motivated against UCLA in the Pac-12 title game. No, you couldn't make a free throw. So I see this stuff, and people want to have trends and break it down and analyze it right and left. And there's some teams I really like. There's some teams I don't like Kansas all that much this year. Their best player is not Wiggins. It was at the start of the season. And if you're going to hear the word Embiid a lot, and I'm tired of it already, he's not there, so move on. Everybody's in love with New Mexico. I kind of like VCU again. I kind of like Shaka Smart because, again, it's about coaches. I thought Steve Alford coached a heck of a game. Is Tulsa with Danny Manning against UCLA in round one an interesting matchup? Tulsa plays hard. I like Tulsa. So we'll go through all this stuff. Eric's got his Facebook question of the day to get us off and running, though.
The biggest news locally, Brad, yesterday, as you mentioned off the top, Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, it's bad.
Is not with the team in Australia. He had an MRI which revealed a partial tear in his ulnar collateral ligament.
It's your elbow.
Pitching elbow, thank you. He's expected to get a second opinion from some guy named Dr. James Andrews this week. So today we ask you.
He's not messing around.
Would you rather see Corbin rehab the injury with the possibility of returning this year, or just have the Tommy John, shut it down for the year, get it taken care of once and for all?
If anybody says A, they've been drinking.
The Diamondbacks fans who want to win this year and don't look at the long-term issues that could come up if he doesn't have Tommy John would say A. And there are people out there that say, you know what, just rehab it. We got to win. We got to knock off the Dodgers.
It's
now or never for Gibby and Kevin Towers.
Well, it is.
It is.
Let's not sit here and joke about it. Here's the good news, though, on that. And you go to Facebook question, facebook.com/sports360az to vote on this. But here's the thing, Eric. For all the angst and how are we going to figure out Archie Bradley, every spring training, this is how it usually goes.
Yep.
Except for the Diamondbacks at shortstop. I don't think they figured the shortstop thing out yet. Right now, there's no question Archie Bradley is going to be in the starting rotation to start the season. Because it's not just the fact that Cahill wrenched his knee. We'll see how that comes through and how he pitches this week. I'm not big on him. I think I've seen enough of that act. Bronson Arroyo's back. Now you have this thing with Corbin. I don't want to get into this go on the Reno Express back and forth. There's no reason for that. So it should be B. Okay, if it's anything other than B, it's not right. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, they have March Madness. It's going on right now. All the games start on Thursday. You know that Thursday night at 6:40 is ASU. You know that Friday morning at 11:10 is U of A. Guys, you're too well to attend work on Friday. You need to go to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains for their March Madness promotion. Stay there over the weekend. Get away from it all. Spring break for many of you around the state. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Head on up to Sunrise and all the great spots around the White Mountains. And check it out there at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So ASU gets Texas, which to me, when I saw that on the bottom line, I felt like, well, that's not a bad little draw. Because Texas is one of these Jekyll and Hyde teams. Rick Barnes teams don't usually put the fear of God in anybody. And we'll talk more about them as the week goes along. I thought for ASU that this was a favorable matchup. When they talk about the region of death, it's kind of like the Legion of Boom with the Seattle Seahawks, but the region of death. So, yeah, ASU is in the same region with Wichita State, which hasn't played anybody, but they're pretty good. I shouldn't say pretty good. They're really good. They're number one seed, but I don't think they're a dominant team. Michigan is very, very good in round two. That's likely who they'd play. Duke is just a four-letter word. Okay? That's Duke, but it doesn't mean they're a great Duke team. For everybody ripping on the committee about Louisville, I would happen to agree with just the few games I've seen of Louisville in the last couple of weeks. I'm a guy that will watch college basketball a little bit in November and December. Like, there'll be some matchups I've got to see. I'll watch most every ASU and U of A game. But as we get into late February, then it's okay. I need to buckle down here and start to watch these guys closely. Louisville is one of those teams. And so for Arizona State to be in that region, I don't expect them to get past the second round. A success for Arizona State, that's where I want to go with this for you. Where are you at on the success ratio for ASU? Me, you have to beat Texas. I understand they're a higher seed. If you get into the tournament, that's not enough. If you get into the tournament and you win your first game and you meet Michigan in the second game, you'll likely lose. And for Herb Sendek, it's we ran into a tough team and it's over. The way that they played down the stretch, they were so bad. Eric, when you think about this, ASU was just awful down the stretch, and yet they're still a 10 seed. If they had maybe split, They could have been an 8 or a 7. That's how weak the tournament is this year.
And Pac-12 got some love this year. I mean, the committee definitely took care of the Pac-12, so I'm considered. But ASU's only won 5 games outside of Tempe, Arizona. That is the most overriding deciding factor. And are they going to be able to break out of this 3-game slump, judging from what we saw on Thursday night?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Here is Jordan Baczynski. Jordan Baczynski says the Devils will be ready.
We're part of March Madness, and you're going to see us play some of the best basketball we've had all year.
Okay. They're laying it out there. We'll get over to U of A in a second. Greg Byrne will be joining us. A couple other things, though, as we go to break. Patrick Corbin's injury could be facing Tommy John surgery, as we talk about that. The Suns winning with Gerald Green. How appropriate. Green scoring 28. They beat Toronto. They play Brooklyn tonight. And I've got some NFL stuff to get to. Teddy Bridgewater at his pro day today. It wasn't very entertaining, wasn't very impressive. That and much more on the other side, though. We'll focus in on the University of Arizona Wildcats. Greg Byrne, athletic director for U of A. He's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
To be 30-4 and receive that, I think we all feel really, really good about it. Now, taking the next step, it doesn't guarantee us anything, but we have to take advantage of the seed that we were given and really perform well here this first weekend in San Diego.
Sean Miller, head coach, University of Arizona Wildcats. Brad Sussmat with you on Sports 360 AZ. Also on AZ Central, good to partner with the Arizona Republic. As we continue to grow, White Mountain Radio. I'll be in San Diego with the University of Arizona Wildcats, actually throughout their tournament run. Jared Cohen from Sports 360 will be with Arizona State. We will send him to Milwaukee. All expenses paid to Milwaukee. While I go to San Diego, I go home. I know that's not fair. I know that's not right. That's just the way it works. But I am excited about U of A. Eric and I were in Vegas, and we felt like it was a U of A convention up there. It was like 95% red and blue. And I think the people in San Diego are going to see a lot of that. And it was put together very, very well. UCLA will be down there as well in the pod system. So it should be very well attended. Here now is Greg Byrne, U of A athletic director, joining us once again on the show with Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Brad?
I'm good. I don't have my bracket filled out. Do you do brackets?
No.
You're not allowed to?
Well, you could do a bracket as long as you're not betting anything on
it.
But I choose not to even do the bracket, so there's no even thought of it.
Do you look at a bracket?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. I haven't as much as I'd like to so far since last night, but, at some point I'll sit down and I'll study it and be like any other fan and just say, hey, here's some games I think could have a big impact on first of all, us, which is any game we're in, and then if you don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse, you want to make sure you're focused on the task at hand. So obviously that's Weber State for us right now. But I look at it and think of what could be some potential interesting matchups.
Yeah, and you can't help, I don't think, but look ahead too as to who's in San Diego, that Gonzaga and Oklahoma State are there. I think it's what you expected, right? It would have been an absolute shock if you didn't go to San Diego.
Yeah, we were feeling pretty good about that, unless something really dramatic happened here the last week or so of the season, that we were here and we had a good shot of that. And that obviously, when it came across the television yesterday on CBS, that was what we were expecting. And what you don't know is who you're going to play and what the rest of the bracket looks like. But now we obviously have a good picture of that. And I was with Sean Miller last night when we were watching that, and obviously. You look at who else is in your bracket, and it's the NCAA championship. So it's tough no matter what bracket you're in.
And I thought the Pac-12 did well yesterday too. Your thoughts just on the overall representation? Because I know that's a big part of the deal. Sean was praising Steve Alford. Steve Alford was praising Sean, and that's a good thing I think for the conference.
Yeah, we're up to 6. I don't know how many years ago Brad it was, but did we get down to as few as 3?
3.
The year that
it was
Washington.
Three.
Won the regular season and didn't get into the tournament, if I remember correctly. And obviously, we do have some disadvantages out in the West just from when we play games late at night, there's challenges with that. At the same time, too, because of the exposure with our new ESPN and Fox contract, that's helping get our brand and our conference out there more on a national scale. and you and I both know there's great basketball in the Pac-12, and I think you're seeing that being recognized because the play on the court. You know, I think we at Arizona, we've done a really good job of challenging ourselves from a non-conference standpoint, going to Michigan, playing Duke in the Garden, all the other things that we did this year, and that, you know, going over to San Diego State, and that reflected well and put us in a position to get a number one seed when you look at the body of the work for the season for us. And I think some of our other conference peers have ramped up their non-conference, and hopefully some others will do more of that down the road here.
Greg Byrne, U of A Athletic Director, with Brad Sismat for a couple of minutes. We'll have the show out in San Diego Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and through the weekend on the site as well at Sports 360 AZ and also with the Arizona Republic on AZ Central. Building a basketball program, Greg, I would have to think if you're sitting there today and you're looking at the model program in all of college basketball, U of A would have to be ticked off as one of the top two or three if people were to recite it. What is it about there? Is it all the loot culture that has been reestablished? Because it did go through the down phase. But there's no question when I'm in Vegas, as I said off the top, it's a U of A convention, and red and blue is the dominant brand.
Well, we're very pleased and proud of our fan base. I'm sitting here in my office, and I've got some pictures in here that are designed to show off the passion of the Arizona fan base when I have recruits in here. And I'm going to have to get one of Las Vegas in here now, too, because it was unbelievable. And Greg Hansen, who's the longtime columnist here for the Daily Star, caught me after one of the games over the weekend, and he said, have you ever seen anything like it? And I said, yeah, there's only one other place that reminds me of this, and that's what Kentucky does at the SEC tournament every year. And I think we're the West Coast version of that. And we have just everybody shows up. The great majority were wearing red. And the U of A chants are going on during other teams, when other teams are playing, that we're not even involved in the game. And, we talk all the time, and I actually tweeted about this yesterday. You know, we talk all the time about how do we separate ourselves from our competition. Mm-hmm. And what happened in Las Vegas last year and this year, that separates us in the men's basketball world. And that's a wonderful testimony. Now, at the same time, too, Coach Miller has given our fan base and our department has given our fan base reason to go and support in the manner that they have. And he talks all the time about the process and staying focused on the task at hand. Now the most important thing for us is playing Weber State this coming Friday, and making sure we stay focused, for what's ahead of us currently. And I think you've seen, Sean and I were actually talking this morning, and 5 years of hard work by Coach Miller, his staff, the team, and we've tried to do everything we can as a department to put the resources and the energies behind the team to allow them to compete at that level. And who knows what will happen this NCAA basketball tournament season. We have to take one game at a time. You also have to have some luck along the way to go win this thing. And,
sure.
And so we think we're in a really good position for this year, but more importantly, I think we're in putting ourselves in a good position, hopefully for many years of success to come. And obviously, Coach Olson deserves a lot of credit for laying that foundation. And we did have a couple tough years in there mm-hmm. towards the end of before Coach Miller got here. But at the same time, too, I think we're very focused to put ourselves in position for long term success.
No, and it's not. It's not the alums even. It's the 19 and 20 year olds that made the effort to go to Vegas. This is 2 years in a row we've taken the show up there, and I can see the alums that are sitting there with the gallon margaritas having a good time just as easily as I can see some of the students up there having a gallon margarita too, a few of them. But nonetheless,
they wouldn't do that, would they, student?
Yeah, I know, shocking, right? but the facts are that it seems to me to be an elite fan base. And I like talking X's and O's like the next guy, but you notice fan bases that you could lose in the first round and you're still going to have crazy fans next year and a year from now, passionate fans, a better term. My point is you have something there that you said it earlier, Kentucky. I see Indiana fans, Kentucky fans, and U of A fans now all very much alike.
Well, that's a great compliment. And we've told our fan base we want this to be a tradition for us to show up in force in Las Vegas. And I told Larry Scott a few years ago when we were discussing Las Vegas. I said, listen, when the Pac-10 tournament, that what led to the Pac-12 tournament, got started in Los Angeles again, as a university, I don't know if we were crazy about it. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, playing in the Staples Center, that's not an easy place to get in and out of. It's also, you know, it's very expensive to go to Los Angeles, and it certainly doesn't have the same activities that Las Vegas has. So I told them, I said, if we move this thing to Vegas, I can promise you that the U of A will be there in force. Now, I was thinking maybe we'd have 30-40% of the crowd, and you know, I don't think it was a stretch at all to say we probably had 75-80, maybe even closer to 95% of the crowd at times this weekend, and that's a lot of fun to be a part of, and that energy and enthusiasm is contagious.
Yeah.
And we want, and just like a negative attitude is contagious, we want to make sure we're on the right side of that fence. And what happened this past weekend will do, I think, nothing but grow people's interest in our program. And on top of that, Brad, the year before, I didn't talk to one person during that, you know, between the 2 years ago when we were in Vegas and this year when we were in Vegas, I didn't talk to one person that was at the first one that didn't say they weren't going to be back this year.
Right.
And I bet you we'll have the same type of mentality when we're out talking to our fans in the off season that, hey, I'm going to Vegas, and it's just going to be something I do as part of our family spring break or whatever it is that just becomes something that people put on their calendar every year. And it's wonderful for us.
Yeah, and I already have it on our calendar as a company for next year, too. Greg Byrne with us, U of A athletic director. Can you make free throws? Okay. When you're sitting there on Saturday, what is going through your mind as you're seeing clank after clank?
Well, I make it, you know. I thought you asked, could I make free throws? I actually, back in high school, I was remember Don Munson?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, I was the free throw shooting champion of the camp.
Okay.
And I told Sean Miller early on when we were first getting to know each other that he and I needed to have a free throw shooting contest, and I found out he made like 98 out of 100 in the first contest. I'm like, I don't think I can do that anymore. But anyways, free throw shooting, we're working hard at it. I know there's been a lot of days where the way our basketball facility is set up in Richard Jefferson, we can have the entire team, almost the entire team, all shooting at once. And because we have 12 baskets in Richard Jefferson, and so you can basically get all the scholarship guys all shooting at the same time. And there's been times where Aaron's made, I know, 75 out of 100, and so we just have to overcome the game day jitters with it. And we've had games where we've made all of them. We've had games like Saturdays where obviously it was a struggle for us. And we need to go out and shoot, hopefully, you know, 65-70% or better during the games to make sure that's not an issue in the games that take place. And you know, one of the things about it is there, I think there were three front ends of one-on-ones that we missed that we were 6-16. In reality, you make those three, and then all of a sudden you got three more points, and hopefully
you're going to
another three, and you win the ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. Are you involved in this quarterback derby? I had Rich Rod on a couple weeks ago. I had Devontae Neal on last week, and Devontae said, yeah, you may see me at quarterback, Brad, so don't be so sure it's only seven guys down there.
That's right. Yeah, no, I stay the heck out of that. I figure I have a pretty simple philosophy. If any of our coaches need my advice when it comes to X's and O's and recruiting, we want to help and all those different things, but if they need my help in evaluation or X's and O's, boy, I don't know if we have the right coach. So
yeah.
Coach Rodriguez and his staff will obviously have the background, the ability to take a look at it. But, you know, it's exciting to see the foundation that's being laid there. And I really, truly believe that Coach Rodriguez is going to get us to the consistent levels that we maybe haven't been before, and that's because of he and his coaching staff. That's also because of the resources we put in the program. And our Lowell Stevens football facility is a game changer. And we had Dennis Dodd in during signing day, and he travels all over the country.
Yeah.
And Dennis told me, he said, you know, I haven't been to Oregon, but he said, I've been to most of them across the country, and this facility is good as I've seen. And in fact, I was just in Alabama on Tuesday and got to go through their facilities. And they obviously have some very nice things in Tuscaloosa. And I was like, you know, we certainly aren't taking a back seat to them. And that's certainly a tribute to the Stevens family, the Lowells, and everybody else that made that project a reality for us.
As always, I appreciate your time. I'll see you out in San Diego. We'll be out there doing the show all week and weekend. So thanks again.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Bear down.
It's Greg Byrne with us for a couple of minutes. VP Director of Athletics. University of Arizona Wildcats, number one seed. They have Weber State, then they have Gonzaga and Oklahoma State. On the other side, Paula Bova News and Notes, my friend just back from Vegas. She's going to be traveling with U of A as well, but we're going to switch over to ASU a little bit too. Again, we're going to be out in California Wednesday, Thursday, Friday doing the shows around U of A. Jared Cohen will be in Milwaukee, all expenses paid by Sports 360 AZ, to go to Milwaukee to watch ASU and cover them as the Sun Devils. Look, I joke about Milwaukee. Milwaukee in March is a wonderful time of year. It was 19 degrees there last night versus San Diego. But nonetheless, we'll be covering both teams on Sports 360 AZ. Paula Bovin's next.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports 360 AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, my friend Paula Bovin joins us every Monday. She is heading to San Diego to follow the U of A, as am I. We are not surprised by that. Let's focus on ASU then. So turn the page, press rewind, whatever term you want to use, forget about what happened in Las Vegas. Do you think that they have to win against Texas in order to defuse any speculation about Herb? Or do you think that, Brad, no matter what happens, Herb's back next year?
The latter. I think Herb is back no matter what. I think them getting into the tournament, I think, you know, having a new athletic director come in and kind of seeing what Herb Sendick is all about, the way he runs his program, those kinds of things. I just can't imagine him coming in and doing anything else but keeping him.
How did you feel about their draw in the Midwest?
I actually think it's a fairly good draw. I mean, in some ways, they're sort of like ASU. They were struggling late. They're a good team, but I don't think they're loaded with future NBA guys. You know, I think they're good. They're a good defensive team. They rebound well, those kinds of things. But I think they actually match up decently with ASU.
So, you know, Texas ASU finishes the 10 seed. And I was talking to Eric about this a little bit earlier. If Arizona State had not stubbed their toe, I could use a whole litany of descriptions that aren't very pretty and they're very colorful about what they did down the stretch following the U of A win. But if, Paula, they had played even decent basketball, they finished as a 10 seed, and they looked awful down the stretch.
Right.
That tells me that the tournament selection group looked at the whole tournament and said, we don't really have a whole lot of depth here. We may have 7 or 8 teams that are pretty good, but for ASU to be a 10 seed, I thought they were going to be around a 12 or 13 the way they finished the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two things, Brad. I think it's what you're saying about the field in general, but I also think the tournament selection committee really – took seriously ASU's body of work. And obviously they don't necessarily like a team that's not finishing up well as far as their postseason chances. But, you know, when you beat the number one team in the country and you have an impressive RPI and you played a tough schedule and the Pac-12 is obviously a good conference this year, I mean, I think those things worked in ASU's favors. It made the losses not look as bad.
Because in the Midwest, so Wichita State, everybody's talking about undefeated.
Right.
Seen them play. Very good team. I wouldn't say a dominant team.
Right.
So then the 2 seed is Michigan, which ASU could face the second round. Very good team. Wouldn't say a dominant team. Duke is just a 4-letter word. That's all that they are. It's just, yeah, it's Duke, but I don't think this is the greatest Duke team ever. Louisville at a 4. Everybody's all over how Louisville was seeded too low.
Sure.
They look like a team that's rising. My point is, if you go through the bracket, Kentucky's not a great team, but they're Kentucky. It's not like this bracket has great teams. It has great heritage teams.
Sure, sure. I mean, and, you know, I think you're right about Louisville. Pitino is so great at getting his teams prepared for the postseason, so I understand sort of the reaction by everybody about where they're seated. But, if you're going to be seated somewhere, the Midwest is probably the place to be, you know, in some regards. In other regards, I don't see ASU matching up very well with Michigan. I think that could be a problem. But this is a very interesting tournament to me because there are about 10 different ways I think it could go. So it should be good.
You're going to be out with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And are you expecting this to be a long, drawn-out run by them?
I do. You know, I understand the concern about the second round, especially I think if Oklahoma State emerges as a winner against Gonzaga, because they're you know, a team with an NBA type players on there who are very physical and talented. That could be a tough matchup. But if they can get past that second round, I do think they have a nice chance of making a strong run, because that defense wins a lot of games in the NCAA tournament. You know, when you go into some of these arenas where these teams play and they're big and teams don't necessarily shoot as well in the NCAA tournament as they might during the regular season, if you have a good defense, I think it can sustain some success. So that's what I see with Arizona right now.
Now, the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. So UCLA, to me, at four, over on the south side, I like what they're all about. I like how they're playing. I think they're better now than they were a year ago. Stanford is a 10 seed. Mm-hmm. Not all in love with Stanford. The Pac-12, is it a deep group? Is it just a bunch of nice names? Are we expecting two or three Pac-12 teams to make the Sweet 16? I think you and I would both agree U of A and UCLA should be two. Do you see a third Pac-12 team in the Sweet 16?
I think Oregon is really intriguing, and I think people are going to overlook them because they're a 7 seed, but they can score really well at times, and there's going to be some good matchups, I think, for them in that West region. So those are one of those sleeper teams to me. I think, you know, I just love Joseph Young. I like watching him play. I think he's just a really great, exciting player who could be a go-to guy in the tournament. So Oregon would be my other pick in the conference.
Paul Above the News and Notes, AZ Central Sports. Patrick Corbin injury. To me, it's when he says he could be facing Tommy John, I don't buy into let's rehab him and see how he is around July type of mentality. Get it done, and let's see you in 2015. Where are you on this one?
Absolutely. I mean, I just, you know, and I'm not there examining, and I
sure.
don't know what doctors know, but usually in those cases, that's what you have to do, and that's kind of the vibe I'm getting out of there, too, that's going to happen. You want him back as healthy as he can come back, and if that means surgery, then you suffer in the short term for the benefit of the long term, because if you go the other direction, I think you're doing just the opposite, and there is no great value for the organization in doing that.
But if you shut him down and your manager is on a little bit of a hot seat, even though the owner says, well, no, we've extended him, you're really leaning on Archie Bradley to come in and put him in the rotation to, I'd say Archie Bradley, the way he's pitched so far, Paula, he'd have to be viewed as a 3 or 4 within this rotation. Wade Miley would have to be at the top, and I can't imagine Archie Bradley as a 2. But the pressure suddenly on Gibby to get off to a good start grows just a little bit more, I think.
Oh, there's no question. But, you know, I mean, welcome to Major League Baseball and professional sports. These guys managers and general managers have to deal with injuries all the time, big-time injuries, you know, coming at the last minute right before the season starting. It's part of the game, and Gibby knows that. I mean, he went through some crazy experiences as a player, and it's just the reality. But sure, the pressure's on a little more, and it'll be interesting to see how Bradley, you know, responds to that, too. That's the other great storyline I'm interested in watching.
Because the season opens on Thursday, so
right.
We have to figure a number of victories, and I'm right around 83, 84. I know that's wishy-washy, but I think that's where they are in my mind this year.
Yeah, no, and I hate to agree with you again, but I'm kind of there, too. I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and, you know, especially when you've been thrown this kind of curveball right before the season, I don't think you can go in overly, overly optimistic, but I'm intrigued at the very least, you know, and I've enjoyed watching them during the spring. I think a lot of us have seen some really good things, so I'm looking forward to it.
Before I let you go, so ASU spring football, Todd Graham talks today. They're on the field tomorrow. The storylines that you are looking at for spring training or spring football around ASU.
Talk about throwing a curveball, Brad.
That's what I'm all about.
You know, I think, well, obviously, I think there are some big defensive holes that have to be filled. And not just from a talent and physical standpoint, but I think from a leadership standpoint, you're losing some of the guys that have been the most vocal on the team, that have been sort of the most unifying. I think that's going to be a big thing for Todd Graham, although I'll have to say I've never really questioned the leadership issue under his reign, because he seems to find that. That intrigues me. Also, just how the whole running game is going to play out, because obviously that's going to be important not only for that team but for the success of for Kelly to continue his success, he needs that balance.
You can do a big piece on making free throws before you go to San Diego. Are you going to go find a free throw shooting doctor or something? Get Rick Barry in a column? I don't know.
It's a really honestly important storyline when you come into the NCAA tournament when games tend to be close. And I don't know if you fix that in a week. So it's going to be interesting.
I don't see how Sean can keep him on the floor. If it's a 2-point game and Aaron Gordon's on the floor and he's shooting 43.8%, you have to. If I'm opposing coach, there's no question who I foul. And I think it's going to have to play into strategy.
Yeah, but you have to weigh what you lose when he's not on the floor, and that's a lot. And then you just hope for the best and keep your fingers crossed when he goes to the line. And, you know, I talked about him after that last game. He acknowledges it's just a mental thing, that a hurdle he's trying to get over. He's such a young kid who just plays so freely during the course of the game. He gets to the line and then he overthinks it. So I don't think it can't be cured, but it is going to pose, I think, some interesting situations in the tournament.
I'll see you in San Diego. Thanks
Sounds
for the visit.
Good, Brad.
It's Paul Abova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports. So I mentioned the Diamondbacks thing. Spring training is wrapping up. One of the stories around spring training this is a little offbeat, guys, but I like that we've had another successful spring training. There's about a week or so to go, but the Diamondbacks are going to go play in Australia. In fact, I think they're landing right about now. They left 16 hours ago. And have they landed yet, Eric? Have you seen anything on Twitter? I saw pictures last night where they were taking off.
They said they're going to miss Monday completely. They leave Sunday and they arrive in Sydney tomorrow. It's tomorrow
there. But I think
there,
it's tomorrow over there.
Right.
I think it's like a 16-hour flight.
Yep.
I did that deal to China once. But the Milwaukee Brewers, have you heard the story about Hank the dog? So they had this stray dog that showed up at the Brewers facility when spring training opened. The stray dog was hanging around. So the Brewers said, well, there's this dog here. We're just going to adopt him. So they had the dog in the sausage races. They had the dog on the leash with the players. Well, now the Milwaukee Brewers are selling T-shirts and merchandise that have a likeness of Hank the dog. Hank the dog. You know, I talk often about how if you want to really score big points on Super Bowl Sunday and on New Year's bowl games, you put dogs in commercials. Animals sell. Eric's an animal lover. I had a cat this morning at 5 a.m. that almost lost all 9 of its lives because it crawled on our pillow and ran across. Didn't almost make it. I would have had to take him out today. Facts are, pets sell.
Look at the Sochi Olympics. Look at the dogs in Sochi. I mean,
dogs
that's a
in
huge,
Sochi.
Huge story, all the stray dogs.
That's right. So this dog has been featured on E! And Deadspin and USA Today, Hank the dog. But somebody's very smart. Whoever this person is within the Brewers needs to be, that's somebody I'd hire, because Hank T-shirts and other memorabilia are going to be being sold starting tomorrow in the Brewers team shop at Miller Park. The purchase of any Hank item, 20% of the retail price, is going to be donated to the Wisconsin Humane Society. So, you know, you can have PR nightmares like Ryan Braun with the Milwaukee Brewers, or you can capitalize on a stray dog running around on the field and say, hey, that's kind of cool. The players have adopted the dog. I don't know what's going to happen to the dog after the season is, after they're done with spring training. I have no idea. I hope they just don't let him run loose in Maryville. I'm sure that's not the case. But now they're stepping forward on that. I like that story. On the other side, so playoff expansion in the NFL. I got to get into that. There's some news on that front. Some NFL stuff that I think benefits the Arizona Cardinals or any team. Even if you're a stinking Dallas Cowboy fan, as bad as your team is, how's it feel to have DeMarcus Ware just walk out the door? And much more as we continue on a busy Monday. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We will be on the road with both ASU and U of A, courtesy of Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you, and much, much more. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. We'll be right back.
I wore a ton of green yesterday. I didn't do any of that business stuff this morning. Walk in here, everybody's wearing green. It's like, oh, that's right, St. Patrick's Day. I'll find it. I'll find it as the day goes on. I'm not going to lay out on this day. Of course not. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @RadSusMatt. Speaking of White Mountain Radio, next Tuesday the 25th, I'll be doing the show up in Pine Top. I'll have more information on that. Pine Top Sholo area will be up there with Sports360AZ, big part of what we do in the White Mountains, and we'll be doing the show up there next week. So more on that front. The bracket side of things, I'll get to that in a minute, but I do want to jump in here on something the NFL is doing that I think is very smart. The NFL, I still believe that while it's at the top of the food chain right now, that as you look at it and see where the legal side is going, follow me on this, the legal side of concussions and youth sports starting to shift to other sports, and the NFL can deny this all they want. It's not me bagging on, it's just a fact. I see the numbers, and the NFL can have their own set of numbers. But it's now becoming a good thing, I think, for playoff expansion. If the playoffs were expanded last year, the Arizona Cardinals would have made it into the postseason, and I think we probably would have seen them win a game or two. They were on a bit of a roll. It's much like March Madness when it was, well, we can't expand the tournament field. It's just going to water it down. No, it's not. Peter King writes today that it's probably a matter of when, not if, there's the NFL owners meetings in Tampa next week, that the league is going to add two playoff teams in time for the 2015 season. Not this coming year, but the 2015 season. They'd have 14 playoff teams instead of the current 12 out of the 32. They would give one team in each conference a first round bye. So if you're the number one seed, you get a bye. But if you're the number two team, you're going to have to play in that first weekend. And you'd play the lowest seeded team. Three would play the second lowest seed, so on and so forth. So you'd have matchups of 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5 in the wild card round. 6 wild card games instead of 4. One of them would be moved to Monday Night Football. So they'd go back and get Monday Night Football for the playoffs. And I never quite understood that. Why would the NFL walk away from Monday Night Football when it gets into the postseason? Not that I'm a big fan of Monday Night Football with the crew, or the games usually stink out loud. Maybe it's the way of extending an olive branch and saying, hey, sorry ESPN that you scheduled the Jaguars and Dolphins to play on Monday night in late December and you had to carry that slop. Here's the way that we can make it up to you. Maybe that's the way to go about it. Is it unfair to have a team play on Monday night? So if that team gets the extra day and they win, they have to turn right back around and play 5-6 days later in the playoffs. So you can make that argument too. Is it really fair to have a Monday night playoff game and then have a short work week the rest of the time? So that's going on, and I like the fact that they would be expanding playoffs. Expanding playoffs I don't think is ever bad. This isn't the NHL. This isn't the NBA where you're going to have a 500 team who's not playing very well at all. In all likelihood, you're going to occasionally have that. But again, if the Cardinals had had this format, they would have made it in last season. It would have been good. Teddy Bridgewater had his NFL Pro Day today. The more that these guys throw and run and have stopwatches, and we're still 6 weeks away from the NFL draft, I think the more that it hurts them. You know, so if a guy doesn't want to work out at the combine, Eric, did Bridgewater, I forget now, did Bridgewater work out at the combine? There were several quarterbacks that didn't.
I believe he did. I know Johnny Manziel did not throw.
Yeah, Manziel didn't throw. But Bridgewater today had his NFL Pro Day. Kurt Warner was there. There were others that were there. And the tweets that I'm seeing coming from the NFL Network guys said that Bridgewater was very underwhelming today. Well, what does underwhelming really mean? If he lights it up and there's still 6 weeks of this stuff to go, or did he not make all the throws? I saw where Gil Brandt said he came out without his gloves on, which is very interesting to Gil Brandt because he wore gloves in every game. What is the point of that? We're going down this path so far where you're going to dissect guys almost too much. You're going to have paralysis by analysis. This is the same group of guys that every year don't draft certain players that roll out and turn out to be very good players. Or it's the same group of guys that says from a consensus standpoint, we're going to draft Ryan Leaf. Hey, we got it all figured out. We're going to draft Christian Ponder. We're going to spend a first-round pick on Blaine Gabbert so that he can end up going to the San Francisco 49ers to back up Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, for like a seventh-round pick or something.
We're going to draft Jake Locker because who wouldn't want Jake Locker? So these quarterbacks that are being selected now or that are going to be selected and they do the workout, to me, it's be safe. Make the safe pick. I'm very happy the Cardinals are drafting 20th. It means they're making progress. I got worn out with the Andre Wadsworths and the Garrison Hurst and the Leland McElroys and all the nonsense of picks that they made that weren't any good or that had baggage along the way or just weren't smart picks. Tommy Knight. I'm going to just go on and on and on with these guys. You know, as it sits right now, if I'm sitting there with the number one overall pick, I don't take any of these quarterbacks. Because these quarterbacks, you're going to tell me Johnny Manziel's not going to get beat on unmercifully with his size? Love him to death. Do I need to go sell jerseys and cause a buzz for a year or two, and then all of a sudden the guy gets hurt? Johnny Manziel to Jacksonville has absolute train wreck to me written all over it.
It does. And one of the knocks on Bridgewater was he's too slight. He's thin-framed. He shows up at his pro day today, Brad. He lost 10 pounds since the combine.
But, you know, and all these guys, Eric, all these guys, if Jacksonville wanted to go sell jerseys, what did we say a year and a half ago on the show? Go sign Tim Tebow. If that's all you want to do is sell jerseys and cause buzz, the easiest thing they could have done is just go sign Tim Tebow.
They have tarps up in the corners of their end zones
no.
for a reason. There is a reason why their games are never on TV.
There's some of these NFL ownership groups that you look at and you say, the Cardinals end up getting a left tackle from the Raiders. So guess what the Raiders have got to do in the draft? They've got to find a left tackle. They could bring in Michael Vick. They could bring in whomever they want at quarterback, and that person's going to get run over. That person's just going to get lit up. So because they can't get out of their own way, they once again have to go find another player to fill a position of need. And so if they're going to go take a quarterback, that quarterback's going to get crushed up in Oakland. These teams at the top of the draft board this year, it's going to be very interesting. The team that is sitting there in the best position is the St. Louis Rams. St. Louis Rams could take that number one pick, that second pick, I should say, and parlay it into something huge like they did with RG3. They were brilliant with RG3. But, you know, six weeks to go, and here Bridgewater goes out and does a workout today, and everybody's crushing him. Even Kurt Warner on Twitter, it was underwhelming. When does Kurt Warner ever get underwhelmed by anybody?
Well, he wasn't wearing his gloves, so I'm sure Kurt
didn't
like that. Kurt was wearing gloves
at
his
flag
football
game.
Did you know that, Ron? Kurt wears gloves for his charity flag football game.
Of course he did.
Still.
Probably sold them.
Probably.
Made a couple bucks. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So, we're in Las Vegas. General Manager Tim Hovick from Santan Ford is up there following Arizona State. As we've told you, big-time ASU fan. All excited. And we're sitting there talking at the MGM Grand about all of these billboards I'm seeing around the valley of him ripping open his shirt with a Diamondback jersey on it. He's very excited about the Diamondbacks. He's very excited about the Arizona Cardinals. Going to be sponsoring some stuff with the Cardinals and the NFL draft. Facts are facts. This guy is invested in the valley sports scene and statewide. Don't you want to do business with somebody who's not just a blowhard, but who's also invested into these teams in a big sort of way? Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Just go to santanford.com, shop online, find that car, find that truck. I'm in the 2014 Ford Fusion. Great car for me to use for my business, my travels, for my family. Whatever it may be, the Ford Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com is our website. We have plenty of content up there day in and day out. Today we'll be over at Arizona State football. We'll be at ASU basketball. I'm going to write a couple news and notes columns on some things that I'm seeing around the valley, some thoughts that I have. And then as the week goes on, I'll be in San Diego with the University of Arizona Wildcats for their March Madness run. Jared Cohen from Sports360 will be in Milwaukee with Arizona State basketball. So we've got March Madness covered for you. Grand Canyon University has a playoff game here on Wednesday night, too. I think Eric's going to head over to that. Sports360AZ.com. Appreciate our partnership with AZ Central Sports. White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @BradSusmount.